Live Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Philemon. It's Paul's most personal letter. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. It rains upon the just and the unjust alike. Difficulties are there. The difference that you and I have is that we have underneath us the everlasting arms. And so when our world comes crumbling down, or our pride takes a huge hit, or our heart is broken beyond what we think we could ever piece back together, we have the confidence down underneath us that God has got us. I remember when I was a little boy, I got hit in the head by a mailbox. It just jumped out in front of me. And there I was. I had to get stitches. I'm at the doctor's office, and Kenny was there. And back in those days, you didn't have to worry about your insurance. You had your dad. And Kenny was standing in as my stepdad, my proxy dad, and he paid by $200 bills. Slap, slap, done. Let's go. But we couldn't go because as he was paying, I was over by the wall, and I began to slide down the wall. Got the stitches, got the injections and all that, but I slid down the road. Kenny just swooped me up, put me back on a gurney. That's what God does. He will swoop you up and He will put you back where you need to be. You know why? Because He loves you. And His Word becomes more precious to you than it ever could have with any other set of circumstances. We are not to mind the details of our circumstances. We are to mind the one who is the determiner of our circumstances. He is at work in you. And the Bible says, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we begin to lay down arms against God, against ourselves, and against our world, we will begin to thrive again. And we will begin to have a testimony again. Philemon was hurt. He was wounded. His slave had embarrassed him publicly. We've embarrassed ourselves, perhaps. Our children sometimes have embarrassed us. Maybe even our parents have embarrassed us by different behaviors that have put us in a position where we think, how could I ever recover? But the reality is, God is a personal God, and He knows where we are. Philemon was a man who loved God. Paul knew that. And he begins to praise Philemon in verses 1 to 7. He praises him, first of all, by looking at his family, Archippus, and looking at Apphia. These are people who had a church in their own home. It was hospitality on steroids. Not just letting people come and stay, but they had a house church. This was a regular meeting place. The door was revolving. The Bible talks about the fact that we're to be given to hospitality and be eager to entertain strangers. He not only praises him by acknowledging his family as being really a cut above by saying there's a church in your house, but he says in verse 4, he says, I thank God making mention of you in my prayers. He prayed for these guys quite a bit. Why did he pray for them? Because he's in prison and he heard that they were still muscling through even though it was hard. He says, I pray for you, hearing of your love and your faith. He knows he's wounded. He knows he's been humiliated. He knows he's been hurting. But Philemon, nevertheless, still has a church in his house. He's still faithful in that kind of attendance to the things of the church. He's also loving and showing forth faith, and it's toward all the saints. He says, you know what? I'm broken, but I'm going to try to help other people. This is a good thing. And it's not easy. It's not easy. You get hurt. You go to church on that next week? Praise God for you when you've done that. You are to be praised. You've learned something. You've learned that there's no other place. Like when all the people left Jesus, He said to His disciples, will you also go away? His disciples said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. Do you know? Jesus has the words of life. And don't forget what He said at the front door. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know what that means? That means there's going to be more drama and you know what to do with. Isn't it funny how we work as hard as we can to get everything in its place and a place for everything, and then something breaks down and you got to go get a guy to come in? You know, one day I was at work years ago, back when we were in Pennsylvania. Years ago, I had to go to work. They didn't have cell phones there. Linda turned on the washing machine, and it didn't work. No water was coming in. She turned it on again. No water was coming in. She called a repairman. She didn't wait for me. She called a repairman. The repairman came in, and he turned the water on. Oh, okay. You know, drama, drama, drama. But wait a minute. I can't say for sure, but I dare say my wife gave him a track because that's the way she rolls. But you know, when you have drama, what's God trying to get out of us, right? What is He trying to get out of us? You say, well, this is terrible. I hate this set of circumstances. Forget about the circumstances. Look at the situation. You are now in new ground. You're now in a new place. You are still who you are. God is still who He is. What is the situation God would have you to engage in right now? And we want to keep our standing. They did. They continued to have their church. They continued to have their community, their concern for the things of God. He said, I've heard about the way you've taken care of all the saints. And he says, I thank my God, verse 4. Hearing of that. And look at this, and this is really a central verse. You might want to put a star by it. Verse 6. It says, I thank my God, hearing of your faith and praying for you. And here's what he prays specifically. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now that's a mouthful of stuff right there. But let's unpack it a little bit. He says, I'm praying that the communication of your faith. Now the word communication is the word we get coins from. It's koinonia. It's actually a different version of koinonia. Koinonia usually has the idea of fellowship. But this is like koinonos. It means conveying, making your faith common. He says the communication of your faith, making it common, listen, common knowledge to those people around you. Do you know sometimes your faith will not be seen by other people till you go through a crucible? I remember one writer of years past, it might have been Oswald Chambers, but he talked about when we go through trials, it's like what Mary did when she broke an alabaster box to emit fragrance just before the Lord Jesus was to be crucified. What I'm saying is that sometimes we may look real good on the outside, but nobody knows what's on the inside until there's a breaking. And then they see your faith communicated. Now, that's a thing. We went to the fair about 2 weeks ago now, and as we were doing the fair, it was remarkable how few people there were there. And we said that and we pondered that. It was a little discouraging at times because so few people. We thought we just really didn't get to have the impact we wanted to have. And we actually have the bulletin board pictures up for you to see of some of the things that went on. And what you'll see is different people talking to people at the fair. And what's interesting is we looked at the past bulletin board posters that we put up from years past. There's so many people, it's crazy. People everywhere. So it wasn't just a perception. It was real. There was hardly anybody there. But I can tell you about Mike. Mike came by, and he's talking to me for a minute. And I asked him about his salvation. Oh yeah, I'm going. I'm a good person. Yeah, I try to keep the commandments, and I try to be in church. And as I began to see where this young man was, it was my privilege to take that opportunity and share with him the unsearchable riches about Jesus, and he got saved. Now, was it worth it? Was it worth it to spend a week out there waiting for Mike to come along so that an eternal destiny could be changed? Yes, it was worth it. Now, not everybody was willing to hear the gospel. There were fewer people around. You didn't have the bundle of teenagers. Years past, I'd have a teenager. I'd win the teenagers to Christ. They'd run and get their friends. I had one kid. He was a football player. He brought back 4 or 5 of his buddies on the football team. I got to win them all to Jesus. Now, that's fun. But what I'm seeing in our world is that there is a falling away in our nation. A disregard for the things of God. So I'm excited about Mike. I'm I'm excited about Miranda who got saved. She says, yeah, I'm a mime in our church. I serve. Would you go to heaven? Yes, I believe I would. Well, what would you say? She said, well, what I would say is I would say, you know, I'm a very forgiving person. That was her answer. It's all she had. I said, Miranda, can I take a couple minutes and share with you how you can know for sure? Because, you know, some days we have better than others. And sure, she sat down and I shared Jesus with her and she got saved. And then there's Will, and Will came by, and I got to win him to Jesus, too. He was about 12 years old, starting to get a little hair on his face. Under his nose, he had the substance of things hoped for, right there. It was fun. His voice was changing. He was a little guy. I think he was going to get a little bigger because he was right at the threshold of his growing up. But he got saved. You want to know what's really cool about Will and Mike especially? Because I didn't see Miranda anymore. Two times these guys went by, and every time they're like, hey, Pastor. They wanted to wave to me. One was 22, one was 12. My point is this. We can't go through life on beds of ease. Because if we did, we would settle into that. And we would forget why we're here. We can do church without ever reaching people. We can do church without ever impacting our world or eternity. And so God sometimes upends the cart. And for Philemon had to deal with his issues of being publicly humiliated, but he still was standing. Bless him, and bless all who still get their way out of the corner and find their way into a pew and somewhere let somebody breathe life over him, reminding them there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, reminding them that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, being reminded because they put themselves in a position to be so. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. If there's any sin involved, reminding them that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. He's just to forgive us. Those are things we lose sight of when we begin to sink under the waves of our own despair. You see, the loop will create despair, and the wound can create a loop. You see, we need to stay engaged. And he's praising him for having done so. He says, but the reason he prays for them specifically is so that the communication of your faith, Philemon, may become effectual. Effectual means effective. Don't you want your faith to have impact? We do, don't we? Now, if you really want your faith to have impact, there's going to have to be some trauma. There's going to have to be some difficulty. Do you know, Jesus was the best the world ever knew, and they nailed him to a cross. He says, you're going to have tribulation. He says, that's going to happen. In the world, you have, but I have overcome the world. Peace give I unto you. As we sang a little bit ago, not peace like the world gives, but my peace. Why? Because God's got you. He's got you. And you can lean on that. You can draw down on that. You can rest in that. But he prays that the communication of his faith, making it common knowledge to those around him, might become effectual or energized or powerful. And here's how it is. By the acknowledging of every good thing. Now think about this. By the acknowledging of every good thing. Now you're thinking, and I would think on the surface of that, at a quick reading, that what he's saying is, I want the communication of your faith to be acknowledged by the world. But no, the way your faith really becomes powerful and effectual is when you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Think about that. What happened is when I got saved, God gave me all things pertaining to life and godliness. He imputed to me Christ's righteousness. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The problem is I don't feel like that sometimes. That I want to do, I don't do. And that I don't want to do, that I do. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.